Hello, in this talk, I'll be giving an update on the Linux Foundation open source project Unicraft, a fully modular and library-sized unikernel which aims to provide outstanding performance while making it easy to port off-the-shelf applications into unikernels. My name is Alexander and I'm a PhD student at Lancaster University, and I've been lucky enough to join the project over the last year to help bring more applications, tools, and OS subsystems into the project as part of my research. Let's set the scene. Specialization is arguably the most effective way to achieve outstanding performance. This is seen classically with hardware, most recently with application-specific integrated circuits such as tensor processing units for machine learning, Intel's Movidius, a vision processing unit which enables on-demand computer AI vision, or FPGAs such as the NetFPGA for specialized line-rate network packet processing. But these solutions are costly, requiring additional overhead for the development, manufacturing, and installation. Additionally, they are inherently scoped, and can only perform a subset of compute by its very nature, making them inextensible once built. That's not to say that you can't reprogram them with new logic, but only defined by its architecture. When it comes to networking, performance can be achieved by crafting packets ready to go, as is shown by Sandstorm, leveraging the ability to write to the wire at line rate when the traffic is known. Another direction is to add the required OS functionality from scratch for each target application, possibly by reusing code from existing operating systems. This is the approach taken by ClickOS to support click modular routers, and with Minicache to implement web cache, to just to name a few. In the case of ClickOS and Minicache, the resulting images are very lean, have great performance, and have small boot times. The big problem is that the porting effort is huge, and that it has to be mostly repeated for every single application or language. Mirage OS, Erlang on Xen, and Runtime.js are examples of unikernels that have language-specific environments, and have been created to provide performance optimizations for the language itself. So, in the virtualization domain, unikernels are the golden standard for specialization, showing impressive results in terms of image size, boot times, memory consumption, and high throughput. Some of the other benefits that come from having a single memory address space that we'll address later is the elimination of costly syscalls. Many of the benefits of specialization towards performance is the result of being able to hook the application at the right level of abstraction to extract the best performance, and this can be done in two ways. Transparently, simply by compiling your application into a unikernel, you reap the benefits of lower boot times and memory consumption, or to modify the application itself to hook into these performance-oriented APIs. For example, a web server aiming to serve millions of requests per second can access a low-level, batch-based network API rather than going with a standard but slow socket. Unicraft's networking subsystem aims to decouple the device driver side, such as VirtIONet or NetFront, from the network stack or the low-level networking application. So, can you do it with Linux? Well, existing monolithic OSs, such as Linux, have APIs for each component, but most APIs are quite rich and they have evolved organically, and so component separation is often blurred in aim of achieving performance. For example, SendFile short-circuits the networking stack and storage stacks. We tried to quantify the API complexity in the Linux kernel and analyze dependencies between the main components. We used a program called Cscope to extract all the functions from all the sources of the kernel components, and then for each call, check to see if the function is defined in the same component or in a different one. In the latter case, we recorded a dependency. Here, you can see the dependencies between different subcomponents within Linux. But doing it with existing unikernels is still troublesome. It still requires significant expert work to build and reuse existing OS components to target the specific application. Some unikernel projects are not necessarily POSIX compliant, meaning that porting an application is non-trivial, having to provide the same kind of functionality to the application itself. And unikernels, while smaller, are still monolithic. For example, with RumpRun, that compiles against the BSD kernel, still provides a lot of internal OS primitives that are not necessarily used by the unikernel itself. So, starting from an existing unikernel project is suboptimal, since none of the options were designed to support these inherent modularity and subsystem componentization. We opted for a clean slate API design approach, though we did reuse components from existing work when relevant. All components, including operating system primitives, drivers, platforms, code, and libraries, should be easily added and removed when needed. Even APIs should be modular. In order to support existing or legacy applications and programming languages, we aim to provide POSIX compliancy as optional components as themselves, while still allowing for specialization under the API. So, the kernel should be fully modular, and the kernel should provide a number of performance-oriented performance APIs. In contrast to classical OS work, we can roughly split between monolithic kernels, which have great performance, versus microkernels that provide great isolation between OS components and at the expense of performance. Our work embraces both the monolithic design, but aka no protection between components, and the modularity that microkernels have advocated. With that, I'd like to give you a tour of the UniCraft internals and how an application, given the third-party libraries, running on an operating system with a kernel on a particular platform hardware, is componentized into a library operating system along with the UniCraft build system that takes individual components which are required for the application's runtime and prepares it, fetches it, compiles it, links it, and provides a final unikernel image which can be run standalone on the target platform and hardware. Since all components are microlibraries that have their own makefile and kconfig configuration files, they can be added to the unikernel build independently of each other, unless, of course, microlibraries have a dependency on another, in which case the build system will target and build this dependency. APIs, such as POSIX sockets, are also microlibraries, which can be easily enabled or disabled via the kconfig menu. Unikernels can thus compose which APIs to choose to best cater for the application's need. E.g., an RPC-style application might turn off the UK Schedule API in order to implement a high-performance run-to-completion event loop. I'd like to show you how easy it is to build UniCraft unikernels. You can use UniCraft's command line companion tool Craft to download already supported microlibraries and applications, configure the unikernel to your needs, and build and run the unikernel itself. I have pre-installed Craft on this Linux KVM host, and I've downloaded the source files via craftlist pull. Here's an Nginx application. The Nginx application is configured via Craft YAML. Here I can see which kconfig options are set for which version of UniCraft's core, which architecture it's been set to, which platform it's been set to, and the libraries and dependencies that are required for it to build. I can open up the configuration menu by doing craftconfig-k. Here I have a make menu config. I can change the architecture, platform, and the individual library configurations. Here are all the different libraries which have been enabled, and I can change individual things here. We can use craft build to compile the sources, which I've already done in advance. Once done, we get an output image inside of the build folder. Here is our unikernel. As you can see, it is only 1.7 megabytes in size. I can then run it using a pre-installed tool called chemuguest. This simply links to the kernel image, passes it how much RAM I should put, which is a little bit too much, but hey-ho, dash I for init RAM of S, which I've configured as the default file system. I'm attaching it to a network bridge. I'm setting its IP address statically, the address of the gateway statically, and its subnet. Once run, it should just boot and start running. I can then do curl on the pre-allocated static IP address, so 172.99.02, and you'll see I get a response. Arguably, an OS is only as good as the applications it can run, and this has been the thorn of unikernels since their inception, since they often require manual porting of applications. One approach is to provide binary compatibility, where unmodified binaries are taken and syscalls are translated, at runtime, into a unikernel's underlying functionality. This approach has the advantage of requiring absolutely no porting work, but the translation comes with important penalties. So, how does it compare? This table shows the results of micro benchmarks when compared with the cost of a no-op system and function calls with UniCraft and Linux. System calls or runtime translation in UniCraft are 2 to 8 times faster than in Linux, depending on whether the KPTI or other mitigations are enabled on the Linux host. However, system calls and runtime translations have a tenfold performance cost compared to function calls, making binary compatibility pretty expensive. For virtual machines, running a single application, the syscall costs are likely not worth the cost at all, since isolation is also offered by the hypervisor. In this context, unikernels can get important performance benefits by removing the user-kernel separation and its associated costs. The indirection required for binary compatibility reduces the unikernel benefits significantly. In order to avoid syscall penalty costs but minimize porting effort, we take a slightly different approach. We rely on the target application's native build system and use the statically compiled object files to link them into UniCraft's final linking step. We take the application build system, we compile it to .object files and .a files, and then start linking it against, for instance, muscle. To support muscle, a libc type library, which depends on the availability of Linux syscalls, we create a syscall shim layer. Each library that implements a system call handle registers with it via macro. The shim layer is then able to generate a system call interface at the libc level. In this way, we can link the system call implementations directly when compiling application sources natively with Unicraft, with the result that syscalls are transformed into inexpensive function calls. Results from automated porting based on externally built archives when linking against Unicraft using muscle newlib, we show whether the port succeeded with the glibc compatibility layer, the compat layer, and without it, the standard layer. As you can see, the approach is not effective with newlib, but it is with muscle. Most libraries build fully automatically. For those that do not, the reason has to do with the fact that glibc specific symbols. To address this, we build a glibc compatibility layer based on a series of muscle patches and 20 other functions that we implemented by hand, mostly 64-bit versions of file operations, such as pread and pwrite. So how many syscalls are needed to get an application to run? Well, a study of modern Linux API usage compatibility showed that around 50% of applications only needed about 145 syscalls. Unicraft is nearly there. We're at 140. To show what Unicraft could transparently support, we used the Debian popularity contest to select a set of 30 popular server applications not yet supported by Unicraft, such as Apache, MongoDB, Postgres. To derive an accurate set of syscalls these applications required to actually run, we created a small framework consisting of various configurations, such as different port numbers for web servers, background mode, etc., and unit tests, so SQL queries for database servers, DNS queries, and DNS servers. These configurations and unit tests are then given as an input to the analyzer, which monitors the application's behavior by relying on the strace utility program. Once the dynamic analysis is done, the results are compared and added in the form of a static analysis. Here you can see a heat map where we show the amount of individual syscalls that are required by these 30 popular applications. When transparent support isn't available, there's also manual porting. And over time, we've been seeing that manual porting efforts have become smaller and smaller and smaller. With a short survey that we did from developers of Unicraft applications, we saw that the time taken to provide an application from start to finish with the Unicraft framework has become smaller. This is largely, in fact, due to the libraries provided by Unicraft have increased, making it easier to port applications individually. We've got quite a few libraries now. We can support modern languages, naturally C, C++, but there's other languages such as Go, Python, WebAssembly, and then modern applications such as Redis and Nginx. We also support some domain-specific frameworks such as DPDK and TensorFlow Lite, and we have ongoing work for Rust, OpenJDK's Java, and for JavaScript. With that, I'd like to start presenting some of the results we've done in a recent evaluation of Unicraft itself. Unicraft images are smaller than other unikernel projects and Linux. Note that Linux sizes are just for the application and do not include the size of glibc or the kernel itself. This is a consequence of Unicraft's modular approach, drastically reducing the amount of code for the compiled and linked application. For Hello World, no scheduler and no memory allocated at all. Small image size is not only useful for minimizing disk storage, but also to enable quick boot times for VMs based on those images. Here we've done an analysis of popular applications such as Redis, Nginx, and SQLite. Here we've measured boot time of Unicraft with different virtual machine monitors. We define boot time of a unikernel instance as the time between the moment the virtualization tool stack, such as Kemu, Firecracker, ZenXL, etc., is invoked to respond to a VM boot request, and the moment the unikernel starts executing user code, i.e. the end of the guest OS boot process. This is essentially the time that a user would experience in a deployment, minus the application initialization time, which we leave out since it's independent from the unikernel. As you can see, Unicraft's boot time is pretty minimal all across the board. Here we measured the minimum amount of memory to run these popular applications. We define memory usage of a unikernel instance as the resident set size, i.e. the amount of physical memory used on the guest unikernel, plus the resident set sizes of the virtual toolstacks per VM data structure. This indicates how many instances would be able to run the host with a given amount of free RAM, which is ultimately what an operator or virtualization server cares about. Note that these measurements represent the upper bound of an instance memory usage. Some of the VMs page have potential for sharing across instances, e.g. shared libraries used by Kemu, effectively reducing the per VM resident set size when the VM density decreases. We use ports of Nginx and compare their performance to that of existing solutions, including the Linux VM and other unikernels. Note that we did not optimize the applications for performance in these tests. We did, however, solve performance bottlenecks in Unicraft's networking stack implemented by Lightweight IP by adding memory pools to reduce packet allocation costs. These tests were run with 14 threads and 30 connections of a static payload of 612 bytes. We also measured the performance of Redis using Redis Benchmark, using 30 connections and 100,000 requests at a pipelining level of 16. Here again, you can see that Unicraft is able to outperform the rest. Following these baseline performance evaluations, I'd like to show you how specializing Unicraft itself can further increase performance. Let's look at image size. We have motivated the importance of image size as a key performance indicator for small cloud images and are necessary to reduce unikernel provisioning time and virtual machine startup time. Here we measured the image size of unikernels. We built the Hello World, SQLite, and Nginx unikernels for KVM platform and varied a number of different configuration options, including dead code elimination, link time optimization, and a combination of both. We performed two measurements, enabling and disabled link time optimization and dead code elimination. We compared the size of the resulting image using the DU utility in order to avoid incorrect measurements due to sparse images. We measured the performance of the Nginx web server in Unicraft with varying allocators. In order to limit the impact of I/O calls and our results, logging was disabled. We used the utility WRK, a HTTP benchmarking tool, and we benchmarked the server for 1 minute with 14 threads and 30 connections per host. Here we can see that Tiny Alloc outperformed the rest of the allocators provided. Finally, we measured the internal boot time of Unicraft's Nginx unikernel and found scalability issues when using the binary body memory allocator. Boot performance is similar with SQLite, with the body allocator being the worst and Tiny Alloc and TLSF among the best. At runtime, though, the pecking order depends on how many queries are run. Tiny Alloc is the fastest, for less than 1,000 queries, by 5 to 26%, becoming suboptimal with more requests, as its memory compaction algorithms are slower. Using MemAlloc instead provides 20% performance boost when many queries are served. When we benchmarked Redis, further to confirm that no allocator is optimal for all workloads, and the right choice of allocator for the workload and use case can boost performance by twofold. Let's take specialization even further with Unicraft. With Unicraft, we have the ability to further customize images in ways that are difficult to achieve even with existing solutions, be they monolithic OSs or other unikernel projects. The highly modular nature of Unicraft libraries makes it possible to easily replace core components such as the memory allocator, as we've just seen, page table support, schedulers, etc. By default, however, a Unicraft binary contains an already initialized page table structure, which is loaded in memory by the virtual machine monitor. During boot, Unicraft simply enables paging and updates the page table base register to point to the right address. This is enough for most applications and provides fast boot performance. Let's see what happens when we change this for dynamic performance. Unicraft also has the dynamic page management support, which can be enabled when applications need to alter their virtual address space explicitly, for example, via mmap. When this is used, the entire page table is populated at boot time. This figure shows that the guest with up to 32 megabyte dynamic page table takes slightly longer to boot than one with a pre-initialized 1 gigabyte page table, and that the boot time increases proportionally with the amount of memory. Let's look at trying to specialize the file system. Here we aim to obtain high performance with a web caching unikernel and remove the default VFS layer in Unicraft and hook the application directly into a purpose-built specialized hash-based file system known as SHFS. To benchmark performance, we measure the time it takes to look up a file and open a file descriptor for it. For this purpose, we prepare a small root file system with files in the file system root. We measure the average time taken to do one request out of a loop of 1,000 open requests and consider two cases: the open syscall requests where the file exists, and the open requests where the file does not exist. We compare the specialized setup versus running the same application in a Linux virtual machine with an init RAM and files in the RAM, and also versus the application running on Unicraft on top of a default configured, i.e. no specialized unikernel. Okay, let's look at how we can specialize the networking stack. We implemented a UDP-based in-memory key value store using a standard receive message send message syscall, and then created a lightweight-based IP Unicraft image on top of it, as well as for Linux binaries. We measured the request rate for each version and how long it can be sustained for, showing the results in this table. Unicraft's performance is 2.5 times better than the guest Linux image and half of that of bare metal Linux, though performance is low across the board. To improve performance for Linux, we must amortize the cost of a system call, aka a single packet is sent per syscall in the most basic of versions. To do this, we use batch versions of the message syscall, leading to a 2x improvement on both bare metal and guest cases. To further improve performance, we ported our app to run on top of DPDK, which requires a major overhaul of the app, so that it fits inside of the DPDK framework. This boosts the guest performance to 6.1 million requests per second, but the cost of using two cores of a VM, only exclusively for DPDK. For Unicraft, we removed the lightweight-based IP stack and scheduler altogether via the make menu config and code against the netdev API, which we use as in polling mode. Our specialized unikernel required similar porting effort to the DPDK one. Its performance matches the DPDK performance, but it does so using much less resources. It only needs one core instead of two. For DPDK, it has the image size of 1.4 megabytes compared to 1 gigabyte for a Linux image, and it boots in 80 milliseconds instead of a few seconds. Here we show the transmission throughput of Unicraft and Linux KVM virtual machines with the same setup. As you can see, the throughput is high with lower packet sizes and decreases as packet size increases. For future directions and specialization, we want to introduce more compartmentalization, writing critical micro-libraries in memory-safe, race-conditioned, or statically-type-verified languages, such as Rust. We hope to use hardware-assisted memory separation, such as Cherry or Intel MPKs, additional code reduction, and sealing with the hypervisor so that set calls and read-only and execute-only is done after boot. And we hope to upstream standard features, address space layout randomization, stack protection, etc. And for those security-conscious minds, fuzzing for additional verification. You can find Unicraft online at our GitHub organization, github.com/unicraft, or on our website, unicraft.org. We also have mailing lists, or you can follow us on Twitter, at UnicraftSDK. That's it for this presentation. Thanks for listening.